Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Internet already. This is the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack with Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-7753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now you can blog show up on the website. You can swing up there and see what went up yesterday, all that good stuff. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like it while you're over there, well, be great at that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 E.
All right, Dan, I had a winning pitcher last night, but boy, he had a crappy outing. So it really kind of brought down my FanDuel lineup. So I didn't win anything in the free roll last night, and apparently I missed it today. I don't know if they had a lot of the early games involved or something, but it was not available to me. So I had to break down and just do a regular in-game lineup. So anyways, this is where I'm going today. I got Carlos Martinez of the Cardinals as my pitcher. He was pretty expensive, $9,800, but he's facing the Padres and he's at home, so I think he has a chance for a big outing. Chris Jimenez of the Twins is my catcher. He's hitting seventh for them. He cost me $2,400. Going with Mike Napoli at first base, he cost me $3,200. He's hitting sixth for the Rangers tonight. Ian Happ is my second baseman. He cost me $3,400. He's hitting fifth for the Cubs tonight. I got Jed Jorko at third base. He cost me $3,200. He's hitting sixth for the Cardinals tonight. Wilmer Defoe is my shortstop. He cost me $2,800. He's hitting second for the Nationals tonight. And then my outfield, I started with Kyle Schwarber, who I was a little surprised is $3,600, but I like the fact he's hitting in Cincinnati. He's hit second in the Cubs lineup, so I'm hoping that pays off for me. Then I went with Tommy Pham of the Cardinals. He's hitting second in their lineup, and he cost me $3,400. And then I rounded out my lineup with Byron Buxton of the Twins, who's been super hot, which means now that I put him in a lineup, he'll go 0 for 4. But he cost me $3,200, and he's in third. So the recap ends up Carlos Martinez pitching, Chris Jimenez catching, Mike Napoli at first, Ian Happ at second, Jed Jorko at third, Wilmer Defoe at short, and the outfield is Kyle Schwarber, Tommy Pham, and Byron Buxton. I just got in the 610 main league on FanDuel because, like I said, I missed the free roll. I don't know when it was for today, but you got about 26 minutes to get your lineup in there if that's what you're looking to do. So good luck. I hope it works out for you. How did you do yesterday?
Well, I was about 7-8 points away from a dollar, which, isn't bad when there's, 10,000 entries or something. So I was 1,556 out of, whatever 100,000 people were in it. I was pretty pleased. I wish I would have won, but it was Christian Yelich and J.D. Martinez that didn't give me any help. The one thing I noticed, again, is you got to pick guys who are going to hit home runs. So I actually, those two nights, I wish I would have put a dollar on my lineup. I probably could have won a couple of leagues. I went with Urban Santana, which oddly Minnesota lost by a point. But he still put up 46 points. He didn't get the loss, but he had 8 strikeouts. He only gave up 1 run. And 8 strikeouts, 7 innings. So, yeah, really solid start. But I noted, Gary Sanchez, Eduardo Nunez, Didi Gregorius and Kyle Schwarber all hit home runs. So I'm figuring when you're picking, you've got to pick at least four guys who are going to hit a home run to get up there. And now I can see why today's game, that's all anyone cares about. Because when it comes to fantasy, that's all that matters. But, you know, I think if if he sits points off for strikeouts and fantasy, I think maybe the perception on how strikeouts are would be singing a different tune. But while I ramble on, waiting for my lineup for today to come up, I don't know how you missed it, Big Jack. I was able to get into the toughest ticket. But I spent all my money on Chris Sale. So I think I'm going to have a really crappy night tonight. Unless Matt Wieters from Washington, Mitzi Moreland from Boston, playing for State, Peter Jeanette. I don't know how to. I'm at a loss, Big Jack. I should have checked his name earlier. He higher. He's playing third place for Minnesota. Xander Bogaerts at short for Boston. So we may have an issue here because I went with Tommy Pham tonight too. I picked up leading off for the White Sox, Laurie Garcia. And I'm hoping tonight is for Springer's night. So we'll see how that goes. But, you know, before we get into the normal routine of mainly talking baseball, I just wrote together my three WNBA lineup, which I will actually get on any game this year. Couple of days ago for the week. It was actually Sunday at my daughter's birthday party during the cleanup. So, and I was done. My wife was finishing up whatever she was doing. I was actually laying on the couch watching some WNBA. It was your team, well, your city. I don't remember what Seattle Mist, I believe it is, or something like that, versus the Chicago Sky. I'll be honest. I mean, I'm not going to go out of my way, but is it fine? And it's, you know, on TV when I've got going through the channel. I definitely watch some WNBA. You know, I have no opposition to it. I thought it was pretty entertaining. I do think the only thing that sucks for me, though, is I was watching, you know, the last period. The Sky were just getting completely dominated by 30-plus points. So we had the B teams in for both teams. And, you know, there's the reason there's an A team and a B team sometimes. And, man, these girls were... let's just say they were missing a lot of shots. I'm not going to, you know, downgrade their play or anything like that. It wasn't much different than an NBA game, except you really didn't see any dunks, you know. So it's pretty interesting to watch. I do think they're probably another 10 years out before they really get a strong following. I think one of the things, and I know it all works, the contract and how you work things out. The WNBA, I think, is one that maybe should. And I'm not trying to lower the standard of the game or anything like that by any means, but I think we have to find better venues for these. Sitting at the Allstate Arena, which I think is with an NBA game going on or the courts being inside. So you're figuring the Allstate Arena can still seat anywhere from 12,000 to 18,000. And let's be honest, they don't have that drawing power yet. So I don't know. I feel like they just pick a smaller venue and try to pack that in as opposed to picking this huge venue. And, you know, when you get corner shots, you can see a much open space. That would be my only critique. And I know you've said it before, I still think they should lower the rim to 9 feet, jazz it up with, getting these women to stop.
More for the moment, dunk. So slowly but surely, it's getting there. I don't watch it, business is here, but.
They have a good product, and, I wouldn't be opposed. Well, the only thing I oppose going to them is still, you know, like $30-$40 a kid per person. So I think that kind of kicked me in the butt. But, you know, they've got to get paid too.
I did I did get that role, so I'll fill that one out. I don't do very well in both. I don't know enough about it to be, you know, really, you know.
I mean, if you think your interest might be, you know, the more you do the three roles, do you think your interest might be just a tad bit more there? Like, oh, yeah, I know Caleb, right? You might just watch your first few minutes. Yeah, situations like that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if I see it, I'll stop and check it. I know, you know, I remember a lot of the girls coming out from, you know, college, because women's college basketball is a little more, you know, televised or talked about, I guess you could say, yeah, than a, you know, than the WNBA is. So, I remember a lot of the names from there when I see them. You know, I really like Aladon when she was with this guy, and then they had the contract fall out and ended up having to deal her. So, but, you know, we'll see. I just want to ask you a question. We started kind of off the subject. I've got kind of I it's a football topic, but more, it's more of a kind of a social media protest topic. I don't know if you saw it or not today, but they had a protest outside NFL headquarters for Colin Kaepernick. You know, all the fans were out there, and they were saying, you know, they were going to boycott the NFL if he didn't get a job and all this and all that. And the interesting thing I found, Dan, is they were all wearing Colin Kaepernick jerseys. Did they not realize that by buying that jersey, they're actually giving the NFL money?
Yeah, well, you know, the downside of it, too, is there was only, from what the reports I saw, about 1,000 people there. And when you think about it, if I'm Roger Goodell in the NFL, yeah, I'm going to say all the right things, but 1,000 people kind of coming out to protest or quote boycott really isn't even a percentage of your viewership.
Well, you know, and the weirdest part about this whole thing is there's absolutely nothing, Rod. You know, I mean, the only thing Roger Goodell could do is fine an owner. You know, he can't go and force a team to sign Colin Kaepernick. You know, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not his choice. You know, it's individual team and the individual owners, and obviously, you know, people have looked at him, but, you know, like LeSean McCoy brought up an interesting point today, and I don't know if he actually worded it properly, but the way he said it is he said basically he's not a good enough player to be worth the distraction of a team signing him. And now Joe Thomas of the Cleveland Browns mentioned this earlier in the process when he stated that teams don't want any distractions coming from their backup quarterback. So, you know, McCoy was just kind of getting on that bandwagon. He just, I don't know if he phrased it in the best way possible. So,
well, you know, I mean, in the situation with the Cleveland Browns, I mean, if they were still running with Johnny Football, I think it would have been a great signing for a back position off of Johnny Football.
They'd go out and party. You know, yeah, football, but they blew that. Just from, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it was just, you know, because like even if you look now, you know, Kaepernick doesn't have a team, is actually in the top 30 of jersey sales, and you know, it's just kind of like, okay, great, we're gonna, you know, we're gonna do all this, and I'm gonna support him by buying a jersey, except it's licensed to the NFL, and you know, they're probably the one who's making all the money off it. I just thought that was, and the blurb I saw here, Dan said it, there was more than 1,000 people. So apparently 1,000 is the bottom number, but even so, even if it was 1,100, like you said, it's not a big enough percentage to really, you know, make the NFL even notice, get into the tens of thousands. You know, and you damn well know come week one, Dan, that even if these people aren't going to a game, somebody's going to be there to buy their tickets.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's the other side of it. Like you said, Roger Goodell at the NFL, they get to sit down and have a meeting with the NAACP and such. But it's not going to change anything. You can't force a team to pay him to sit on their bench. And I think it would be a bigger deal if you see, you know, the guys that are deciding to deal now, after the fact that they were to get fired or, you know, drop from their team postponing right after the kneeling, then I think you'd have a big issue and a lawsuit coming up on them. But I mean, at the end of the day, Colin Kaepernick started the kneeling, which oddly coincided with the fact that he was being benched from being a starting quarterback. And as things progressed, he lost the job in San Francisco, but I mean, I believe his contract is up, number one. But in the NFL, the way it works, they can just cut you regardless. And I mean, I'm Miami, you're no talent. I've got between Jay Cutler and Colin Kaepernick, regardless of the drama or anything, I don't know Jay Cutler 100% of the time over Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, well, you know, Jay Cutler knew the system there. I mean, that was a smart choice for Miami. You know, he goes back to working with Adam Gase, who worked in Chicago. He has a general idea, so he's ahead of the game coming in. You know, I am interested to see, like, you know, like there's Jacksonville floating around out here, and all the reports are they're going to move on from Blake Bortles, and apparently Chad Henne is going to be their starting quarterback. You know, Bortles makes a boatload of money. I don't know if you want to keep a backup who's making $19 million. So, you know, I wonder if maybe there's a fit there. You know, I mean, it's kind of an ambiguous place. It's Jacksonville, they have a tough time drawing anyways. I don't think Kaepernick could hurt their attendance and even up a little bit. 1,000 people would show up at Jaguars games. But yeah, I you know, I don't know. You know, there aren't a whole lot of openings. I mean, you look at teams and, you know, we kind of went down the list before. I mean, you know, a lot of teams that had openings that, you know, there are, you know, teams that are going, you know, I mean, I thought if the Jets did, I kind of thought maybe he would have trouble getting a job, and that's kind of proved true. You know, the talks in a way, I really thought the Ravens were going to sign up, but then they had the, you know, the issue with the naval base. I can understand that. So, you know, but yeah, you look around the league, and I mean, you know, there's no out there, he helps. So I understand them saying, don't put the position of this guy on your bench, you know, why deal with it when he's not your starter? You know, and maybe it's not fair to him, but, you know, as they used to say, he made his bed, so now he has to lie in it. You know, but on the plus side, Dan, we actually have two games tonight. Week three of the preseason kicks off. This is where starters actually play a little bit. And the interesting thing, starting here in about 10 minutes, we've got the Miami Dolphins at the Philadelphia Eagles. The sad part is I don't know if Jay Cutler will still be playing by the time you and I get done with the podcast. But I was kind of interested to see him play. They're actually showing the game on NFL Network. The other game starts at 6:30 our time. That's the Carolina Panthers at the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that kind of kicks off week three and gets it rolling. And you know, like I said, the big emphasis, of course, is the fact that you're going to see the starters play. Most starters will play three quarters, you know, at least a minimum of a half. It's not like, you know, they're going to come out and, hey, we're playing one series and then we're gone. So you can actually get a, you know, a tad bit of an evaluation and what a team is actually going to look like. So,
you know, I got kind of a, you have no answer to this kind of question, which is kind of your thoughts on it. I noticed, you know, the Tim Tebow hate has drastically fallen down, and it's no longer a story about, you know, him being struck out by, you know, major league pitchers who've been in the game held a lot longer than, you know, he's been out of college. But he's been doing pretty well down in, you know, down in Florida playing for the Mets. And the numbers, he helps draw numbers for the minor league system. Now, I know these aren't, you know, hugely significant numbers because it is minor league baseball. But for them, it's pretty significant. But with that kind of being said, and, you know, you and I understand the drawing power that, nonetheless, a star can bring to an organization, to a team. Do you think Jacksonville made a mistake by not even entertaining the idea of going with Tim Tebow for a year, being that he's from Florida?
Yeah, you know, especially when you look at their attendance numbers, I think the fact that they never even brought him in, I don't know, maybe they had conversations with him and they decided they didn't want to pay him. I don't know, you know, those kind of things that go into it. But, yeah, you know, when you look at it, you really just got to kind of wonder what the hell the thought process is down there. You know, they spent the third pick on Bortles, you know, that one year. It's clear now. I think he's more talented than they do. I just think it's bad development there. I wouldn't be surprised to see him go somewhere else and actually develop into a solid starting NFL quarterback. But, you know, that's just my opinion. You know, they bring in, you know, Tom Coughlin's running the football operations. Doug Marrone is coaching the team. But, yeah, you know, you look back, I mean, before Bortles, you know, just imagine one year of Tebow. You bring him in, you take a look, you see what if it works. Bortles gets to sit a year. Maybe you're looking at a different prospect now instead of a guy who had to be rushed into playing. So, yeah, I think they made a huge mistake by not even taking a look. I mean, you know, the Patriots looked at him. I don't think they were ever serious on keeping him. But, you know, I mean, that's Belichick. You bring him in, you see if there's anything they can do. I think if he would have been a little more willing to switch positions, he may have actually made the team. But, you know, he had his heart set on being a quarterback. But, yeah, I think Jacksonville could be in a completely different situation if they would have just taken a look.
Mm-hmm. You know, do you think that's kind of the – you know, with the NFL, I mean, yeah, you can turn things around in a matter of 1 to 2 seasons. It's really not like kind of the other leagues. But, I mean, do you think that's kind of the situation here in Chicago, that even if he is the better-looking guy, and I'm talking about Trubisky, in preseason, why would you want to rush it? Do you think that's kind of the safest way to go, instead of just trying to throw this kid out there?
Yeah, you know, you go over the stats, and, I mean, obviously you can find good and bad. You know, and what a lot of people are going to do is they're going to say, well, you know, look at Dak Prescott from last year. Mm-hmm. The first thing you have to remember about Prescott is Dallas has the best offensive line in the NFL. They also have a great running game. Now, Jordan Howard is a very good running back, don't get me wrong. He's not Ezekiel Elliott, but he's very good. But the Bears have a porous offensive line. you know, so, you know, we went over the David Carr stats the other day. You know, why do you want your rookie quarterback in there getting smacked around? It just doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, I would, you know, if you're going to do it, you know, wait 6, 8, 10 games, see how the season's going. This way the offensive line has a chance to gel and develop, and maybe he's not getting destroyed. But again, you know, we keep going back, and I know everybody's in love with him. He had such a great first preseason outing, and, you know, everybody forgets, again, they forget to mention that it's against guys who are going to be driving Uber here in a few weeks because they're going to get caught. But he's got 13 college starts. Not a lot. Look at a guy like Deshaun Watson, who started 4 years at Clemson, and the Texans aren't even sure if they want to start him this year. And Watson is a lot more experienced and in a better position than Trubisky is. So, you know, like the Browns have decided now that Deshaun Kizer's their starter. He was a second round pick. I granted he was a high second round pick, so he was, you know, close enough, but you know, you have to wonder right off the bat if Cleveland is destroying another quarterback, because they're going to run this kid out there on a team that just isn't very good. And, you know, I mean, why do you think the Rams hid Jared Goff last year and he didn't play till late in the season? You know, they wanted to give him time to develop and they didn't want to see him get killed. And, you know, it ended up costing Jeff Fisher his job because everybody wanted him to play. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with these guys watching for a season, or, you know, like Aaron Rodgers sat, I think, for 2 years behind Brett Favre, and he did okay. You know, Tom Brady didn't start right out of college, and he did okay. But, you know, the fans want that instant gratification of, oh, hey, you know, look at this guy. We've got this guy. He's got to play. You know, Eli Manning wasn't the starter week one as a rookie. I think they waited 6 weeks or 8 weeks with him, and he's got a couple Super Bowl rings. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if Trubisky ever leads the Bears to the Super Bowl, but, you know, there, I think there's more evidence in, you know, being able to let a guy kind of sit and kind of watch and, you know, not have to jam all that week one pressure down his throat. You know, luckily for Seattle, it worked out for Russell Wilson, but he was an older quarterback coming out of college with a lot of experience. He actually spent 5 years in college. So he had a lot of games under his belt. And, you know, again, but the one thing he had was Marshawn Lynch. You know, when you got that guy you can turn around and hand the ball off to, your life becomes a whole lot easier. And I just don't know if, you know, maybe Jordan Howard's that guy, but he's only in his second year. You know, now, of course, we're going to get on the Tariq Cohen bandwagon because every team NFL wants a running back, wants a running back who's 5'6 and a 180 to get 30 carries a week. So, you know, that's what we need. But, you know, I mean, you know, as a fan, you know, you kind of get it. You know, you want to see what you got right away, but, you know, if you just look at it, and I know you don't want to look at the big picture, you want that instant gratification. You know, that's how society is now. You know, we go on social media and we try to get what we want right away. You know, let the kid develop. You know, he's going to play the entire second half, whatever their game is, be it Saturday or actually I think it's Sunday. I think it's actual noon game, like a regular season game. And he's going to get to play with some of the starters against some of the Tennessee starters. You know, let's see how he does then before we start building that wing to the Hall of Fame that I think they already started. So it's just, you know, I would rather have the kid sit and develop than rush him and have him not develop. So I don't know. Maybe it's just me. So I don't know. You know, maybe I don't know what I'm doing. Who knows, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't wait for spring season to be over with. So.
Yeah, it would be nice to just get here so we could see what's going on. And,
I mean,
you know,
like
just kind of
the longest preseason ever for football.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think a lot of it was because that happened in week one. You know, and it was just kind of like, great, here we go. It happened right away. And I still don't understand the issue of why everybody got so excited when he was just doing it against, you know, I mean, literally it was third and fourth stringers that, that got it going. And it was just like, great, here we go. So, but, you know, we'll see. You know, again, in reality, it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback for this team. It's really, it's still a 3-year at best a 4-win team. I just don't, you know, I don't see it get any better than that. So, all right. Well, you know, I know you at work, so I don't know if you got to see this one, Dan, but there were some afternoon baseball games and a very interesting one at that in Detroit. I missed the start of it, but as I kind of caught up, I realized that apparently Gary Sanchez got hit in an inning after he had homered. He got hit the next inning. I got up in time to see Miggy come up and Tommy Canely throw behind him and get ejected. Now, you know, an odd situation. I thought it was all over. I thought that was just going to be it and Canely was going to be gone. And it was to the point where Aroldis Chapman was already on his way out of the bullpen to take over on the mound. And the weirdest thing you see kind of in the background, Miggy shoves Austin Romine, and the next thing you know, we got a bench-clearing brawl going on. And, it was just wild. So, obviously Miggy got tossed, Romine got tossed, Canely was gone for the pitch. I believe Girardi was already ejected, so he was long gone. Then we kind of move along and things seem to settle down. And then Dellin Betances comes into the game and the first batter he faces, he hits in the head.
Ooh.
I'm like, okay, great. Here we go. So, it looked very unintentional, but in that situation, it's going to cause a little bit of a ruckus. And it did. So Betances gets ejected, having thrown just one pitch. So we move along a little farther, and David Robertson's in, and he runs a fastball in on a guy, and it hits him in the hand. Again, clearly unintentional. This one didn't cause any problems. I don't even believe Robertson was ejected. But later on, the Tigers respond, and for some reason, Alex Wilson drills Todd Frazier. So this, of course, is a problem. So we end up with 3 bench-clearing brawls, 8 ejections. In a game that went over 4 hours because of it, baseball, there you go. Maybe if you're wondering how to speed the game up, maybe we stop guys hitting each other and trying to beat each other up. But Detroit ended up beating the Yankees 10-6. Alex Wilson oddly managed to get the win, but Tansas took the loss after hitting just the one guy. And apparently Shane Green is the Tigers' new closer, so he got the save. Did you get to catch any of this or happen to run across any of it? It was pretty wild.
No, I wish you would have just sent me an email. Hey, go check this out. I would have tried to make some time for that.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think about that. I should have tweeted it to you right away when it was all kind of going on. But, it just, you know, it really went nuts. And, I assume, you know, we'll get some, obviously, a ton of fines and we'll get quite a few suspensions. One of the interesting things is they catch Gary Sanchez landing some pretty good blows on a guy who's at the bottom of a pile. I think it turned out to be Nick Castellanos. And then later during one of the second fights, I don't remember if it was the second or the third one, Victor Martinez has Sanchez pulled off to the side and he's talking to him. Then when they get back in the Tiger dugout, Justin Verlander is just giving it to Victor Martinez verbally. And it got to the point where Verlander walked away and Martinez went after him. So if I believe Castellanos was standing right there, if he wouldn't have been there, we probably would have got Verlander and Martinez in the Tiger dugout. So that was, I think, out of all of it, probably the most interesting. I guess Verlander didn't like him talking to Sanchez after, you know, Sanchez basically punched Castellanos in the face three or four times. But yeah, it was a wild one. So yeah, that was. Yeah. So then, you know, the other stuff we had going on, I don't know, Dan, if you had Robbie Ray or if you held on to Robbie Ray, but he returned today for the Diamondbacks. He picked up the win. They beat Arizona 3-2. Your guy Fernando Rodney got another save. And then Rafael Montero took the loss. Do you have either of those guys this year?
I have Fernando and then I kept Robbie Ray. I made sure they were in my lineup.
So, you know, and then the Marlins beat the Phillies 9-8. Interestingly, Harlan Garcia got the win. Brad Ziegler picked up the save for the Marlins, but Luis Garcia took the loss. So we had Garcia with the win and Garcia with the loss. Tampa Bay beat Toronto 2-0. Steve Cishek, who I actually didn't know was still in the league, picked up the win. Alex Colome got the save for Tampa Bay, and Tom Kohler took the loss. And then the other final, we had Adam Ottavino pick up the win in the Rockies 3-2 victory over the Royals. Greg Holland got another save. He's in the process of making himself a lot of money. And then Mike Minor took the loss for KC. The only game up and actually running right now, it's almost done. The Dodgers are ahead of the Padres, or the Pirates, excuse me, 3-2. In the top of the eighth, Hyunjin Ryu started that game for the Dodgers, and Chad Kuhl started for the Pirates. So, you know, let's swing back a day, Dan, and how about that Rich Hill start?
Well, first off, you forgot to mention that Robbie Ray in five innings had 9 strikeouts. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, I didn't have
the
stats.
He's apparently the only guy to lose a no-hitter by a walk-off home run.
Yeah, I think so. So, it was interesting because right away the sabermetric community started crying because he went out for the 10th inning. Technically, he officially pitched 9 innings because he didn't get an out in the 10th. I don't know what they were crying about, Dan, because he only had 99 pitches. So he was humming along there. There wasn't anything going on with him there. He racked up 10 strikeouts. He only gave up the one hit, obviously, the Josh Harrison walk-off home run. If I was Rich Hill, I'd be a little upset. I'm pitching for the Dodgers, who have this great offense, and they can't score me a run while I'm mowing guys down.
I don't really know how I feel about the change of the rule. I mean, I still think it should have been a no hitter because technically a legal game is 9 innings. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, you know, I was a little baffled by it too. I mean, he went 9 innings. He pitched a full major league game. Put an asterisk next to it or something, but give the guy credit for the no-hitter. You know, I mean, he definitely deserves it. I guess depending on how you want to look at it, since he didn't manage to get an out in the 10th inning, technically he did only pitch 9 innings. So he did give up a hit in 9 innings. I don't look at it that way because it happened in the 10th. But, you know, I know there's people who are going to say, well, you know, he didn't get anybody out, so, but, yeah, to me it was a no-hitter.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. you know, MLB changed the rules a few years back. You know, that's definitely a scoring issue. But I don't know. I still kind of don't really know. I mean, I get it. I get it both sides, I guess you could say. But my feet, my heart goes towards pitch nine innings, got 27 out. You should get the no hitter.
Yeah, you know, and he almost had the perfect game except for the error. You know, mm-hmm. So I think he faced 28 batters in 9 innings. You know, and I mean, you know, also to be fair, Trevor Williams deserves a lot of credit on the Pirates side. You know, he pitched 8 shutout innings, and he had a lot of traffic, 7 hits and 4 walks in his 8 innings. So he did a nice job keeping a team like the Dodgers off the board. You know, in reality, a lot of situations like that, it could be a blowout, but, you know, the Dodgers were 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position, and, you know, it makes you wonder if Cody Bellinger's in the lineup, if maybe it's a different game.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I just, you know, I was following along as, you know, as long as I could with it. And then, you know, when I got up for work, I jumped, you know, jumped right away and checked in what happened. And it was just kind of like, oh, good Lord, I can't, you know, of all the ways for it to, you know, for it to go down for a guy, that's just, that was just nothing. You know, I'm always, you know, anytime Rich Hill pitches, I'm just a little leery because he's the definition of injury prone when it comes to a pitcher. You know, so I was glad to see that he was only right at 99 pitches and he hadn't went way past it, because I would just assume, you know, he would end up breaking down if he did. So, you know, that was kind of a big for me.
Well, and Big Jack, little trivia that was thrown at Pat Hughes last night. In 2000-something, 2 Dodgers pitched no-hitters in the same year. One was obviously, you know this one.
In what year?
One was, I don't know, it was like 12 or 13 or 14. So one of them was obviously for the Dodgers no-hitter. Yep. And I believe it was 2014, because I keep wanting to say 2004, and obviously that would be wrong. But the other guy, you know, I couldn't even think of it off the top of my head last night. The former Red Sox, so I'll give you that one. Could you pull that one out of your hat?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jack Beckett.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's hard to remember every no-hitter, and I remember some for the season, and, you know, kind of the ones that are kind of special, I guess you could say. But I completely forgot that he threw a no-hitter, and then, you know, that was pretty much then.
Yeah, he was headed to the end there. You know, it was, you know, definitely going to be, you know, interesting for him. And it just didn't, you know, just, you know, not, you know, not a bad way to go out though, right? You know?
No, not at all. But, you know, they held on to it for a while. So it was one of those ones that I was racking my brain.
So, yeah, you know, if you wouldn't have said former Red Sox, I would have had a lot more issue with it. Well, yeah, once you said former Red Sox, I realized, you know, what you were, who you were talking about there. So,
you know, because that was that season where they, you know, I think between 13, 14, and 15, you know, technically for the team, they had about 10 to 12 different starting pitchers with at least 7 of them on the DL. You know, with the likes of Ted Lilly and several others, it was just interesting that, you know, it was kind of hard because I was thinking Hiroki Kuroda. You know, I was thinking a lot of other guys, but Josh Beckett just never came to mind.
Yeah, like I said, if you wouldn't have said Boston Red Sox, former Boston Red Sox, I would have never came up with it. You know, I would have probably went through the same guys you went through. But, you know, yeah, once you said former Red Sox and then, you know, being on the Dodgers, I was like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, that's who it was. Because, yeah. That was just kind of, you know, kind of like that. I was like, oh, okay, there we go. So.
Well, and that was he came over with that big trade. You remember Boston took all those bad contracts from – I mean, sorry, the Dodgers took all those bad contracts from Boston. And, you know, it was kind of funny when you look back in retrospect to that. You know, they dumped a lot of money, Boston, that is. They got rid of a lot of contracts. You know, we're talking Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, Josh Beckett, and I think there was one or two other guys that came over. And then they won the World Series.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was one of those you really didn't expect that to happen. It was the year Xander Bogaerts came up.
Yeah, wow.
You're racking your brain on that one, aren't you? Like, wow.
Yeah, I'm going through and trying to figure it out now. You know, it's kind of like, geez. So. But, yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, it's just, you know, one of those odd things you get with baseball. You know, it's kind of like, hey, guess what? This happened. And, you know, can you believe that? You know, there was actually a point where Josh Beckett threw a no-hitter in a Dodger uniform at the end of his career. So.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I know we still have some time, but I want to throw out there. I think only our basketball, well, we'll have a team open in hockey if you want to do an auction style NHL. I think we still need some teams in the NFL, too. But NHL, NBA, NFL, we do big teams or big leagues, so.
Yeah, we're definitely still looking. There is just one hockey spot available. I didn't check the basketball, but I believe there still are spots available. And then you mentioned, yeah, we're still looking to hunt down some football teams. So, yeah, if you want to get in, you know, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, you know, just go ahead and, you know, send us your name and we'll get right back to you with the link. It's free to play. So no issue there. You don't have to worry about paying anything. It's just, you know, just for bragging rights. So, you know, jump in
Which
and
I'm still
see,
trying
see
to...
how you do against us.
Still trying to get that for the NFL. I haven't done very well in football.
Yeah, you know, somehow I won the auction league last year. I don't know how, but I will take it. I'm okay with that. You know, it was again, it was one of those situations where, you know, you just have to get in. I was 8-6 during the regular season, and I got into the playoffs as one of the later teams, and there you go.
I was gonna say, were you the wild card, or were you the 8th seed, or how did that work out?
I don't remember off the top of my head where I got in. I want to say I might have been the 7th seed, because there was a whole kind of conglomeration of teams right at, you know, 8-6, 9-5 last year. So I snuck in as one of the last teams. So I want to say I think I was 7, because I met the guy who was the regular season champion. In the finals, it was actually our elk buddy who beats me all the time, and I finally got a little revenge. I won a lead by beating him, so that was a big plus for me there.
He always seems to be in the finals for everything. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah, it is kind of odd that, you know, he's just always there. you know, you're kind of like, okay, well, you know, how about this? Oh, no, look, he's there again. And, yeah, it's just kind of funny. Every sport, no matter what, he just, you know, he finds a way to get himself in there. And, you know, we just got to deal with it, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things I've learned, too, is you can't be afraid to make moves, make trades. You know, and you've got to give up to get something. The way it worked out, you know, I had maybe not the best pitching. Plus, you know, I went with King Felix again, and he's just career is not on the downside, but his body health has seemingly been on the downside.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, this is the auction team is the team that I had. I had way too many Cubs on my team to begin with. And I think that's always something I try not to do. But, you know, with Ben Zobrist, Jason Hayward, Chris Bryant, and Kyle Schwarber, you know, this is a team that I actually traded away Chris Bryant for something. I got a really good pitcher back. I was trying to get rid of Kyle Schwarber, and I ended up trading away Schwarber and getting back Buster. No, trading away, I think it was Bryant who got me Buster Posey and Robbie Ray. Yeah, you know, so the trades have been interesting where I think if you draft the right players somewhere in the season, you can get back just the right quality of players. And I was even trying to do a 2-for-2, and he shot down my 2-for-2 and went, you know, and took me for that. I was even able to give up Justin Turner for some quality in return, and it worked out because actually on the other side of it, Justin Turner spent a little bit of time on the DL shortly after, even Chris Bryant. And I did get lucky. I did get to keep at least one of my trades with you, Big Jack, as I kept Tim Beckham in the one league, because I know you have him in the other league, so I'm sure if you would have saw him on the waiver,
yeah,
you would have picked him up immediately.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, getting rid of Bryant and Justin Turner, I still have a solid shortstop and pretty good second baseman. Beckham's held in pretty well for that first base slot because I had Adrian Gonzalez who, you know, was gone for a while, who came back and was surprisingly still on the wire, so I picked him up again. But, you know, it's been an interesting season. I got rid of kind of the big stars of my team and actually ended up making it making it into the level of where I can seed into the playoffs. But it'll be very, very interesting. I just hope to make it in both leagues and hope to make it to at least get a trophy in my virtual trophy case.
Yeah, I am battling through those injuries and I am, you know, juggling. I am just hoping I hang on because I'll be so disappointed if, you know, all these late season injuries end up costing me a spot. That would be, you know, that would just be heartbreaking. So, you know, I'm hoping, you know, I had to make some tough cuts to get some new guys added in so I could actually feel the team. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. But right now I think both my teams are in. It's just a matter of getting through. Sadly, you'll like this one, Dan. Mr. Fantasy and I missed getting in the Money League playoffs by a half a game.
Oh, that's rough.
So, the thing that really bothered me about it is I had one week where, for some reason, I had issues with the website, and I didn't find out until a day after the week it started. I went in and made the changes. And for whatever reason, it didn't take or however it happened. And we ended up having two guys who were on the DL in the starting lineup. And obviously, I'm not stupid enough to start two guys in my lineup who were on the DL. But of course, they wouldn't allow us to correct it. So we got our, you know, rear ends handed to us that week, grabbing two zeros for the entire week. And I'm wondering if maybe down the line, that's what cost us. So it was just kind of like,
yeah. I'm not a big fan of that whole, you got to set your lineup on Monday to get it for the whole week.
Yeah, you know, it makes it very interesting because obviously, you know, like I had forced him to pick Trevor Rosenthal during the draft. He didn't want him, but I made him pick him because I knew sooner or later he would end up as the Cardinals closer. Well, you know, we had him in the lineup. He goes on the DL on like a Tuesday. So then we've got to eat zeros the rest of the week because you can't change it. But it's, you know, it's just, you know, it's part of the brain. You know, and it happens to everybody. You know, it's not like it just happens to Mr. Fantasy and mine's team. But, you know, so we'll, you know, we'll deal with it. We have a chance. They do a loser's bracket, so we still have a chance to win some money. And we're the highest ranked team going into this bracket. It's just too bad we didn't get Clayton Kershaw back because I think we could have gotten to the playoffs and just mowed through everybody. So, but yeah, you know, breaks of the game. You know, I'm sure it happens to everybody, and you know, we're not the only ones. And you know, you were mentioning all those trades, and I guess maybe it was in the other league where you were nice enough to give me Nolan Arenado for Will Myers.
I think that was in the auction. Or no. You're right. That was in the other snake. And how did that pan out for you?
Oh, it's been fantastic for me. I haven't had any issues. I know Myers has had a bit of a down year. But yeah, you know, you know, the problem with me is I made a stupid trade after that. I had Jake Lamb, so I used Jake Lamb to try to upgrade my pitching. And I sent him in a deal that got me Danny Salazar back, and Salazar's been a complete bust. So
now I was going to ask you, though, with the whole lock your picks for the week deal, is that just because guys don't want to keep up with it?
It started because they used to manually score this league until just a couple of years ago. They just recently got on the web with this league. So it's a bit, I guess you could almost call it a throwback league. I don't know why they don't want to go to the daily format. You know, they just recently started to allow you to use both your pitcher starts in a week. What you had to do, if your pitcher had two starts, you had to designate one as the start you wanted to use. So, you know, imagine trying to do that.
Yeah, I would always pick the one where he blew.
Yeah, which is what we did most of the time, but anyways, the music means Dan and I are going to take off. But, hey, we'll be back here to start your weekend off tomorrow at 5:30. You know the deal while we're gone, though. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what goes on over there. Link yourself over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTimeRadio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. We'll always get back here, have some fun with you, whatever you got going on. You know, we really appreciate the fact that you tune in live for an hour here with us. We think that's cool as hell. But don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want at tunein.com.
Sports Time Radio.